Hey there, everybody. This is Mrs. Navidad.
And this is Ms. Snyder. Today, we are going to focus on two essential questions that ask, what are psychology's main theoretical perspectives, and
how do these perspectives describe human behavior and the mental processes? See you on the flip side.
See ya.
Welcome to AP Psych!
Okay, so Ms. Snyder, what Yes. are some current perspectives or approaches in psychology today?
Putting me on the spot here. I haven't Okay. taught this yet.
Well, we're actually going to talk about seven main perspectives today, and then we're going to talk about like a hybrid one that is used in more contemporary psychology.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome.
I am here to learn.
You're here to relearn.
Relearn. No, I've got this. I just wasn't expecting that right off the bat. The next bullet point I saw was why, and I almost hit you back with that one. So, but one of our themes is why. So why is it important to have several different perspectives or approaches to contemporary psychology? So as we go through, you'll see that, you know, not all these perspectives are created equally. Not all of them are accurate, but some of them are able to address topics that others aren't. So they really complete each other.
Exactly. To combine different perspectives kind of gives us a better understanding. And these perspectives and approaches are used to do exactly that, to explain different human behaviors, because like you just said, each one has their own thing that they look at. And so to look at through multiple different lens through these perspectives kind of gives us a better overall understanding of a human being.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what's our first perspective that you want to talk about? We have seven to choose from.
What's your favorite,
Ms. Snyder?
My favorites. I do like the cognitive perspective.
Okay. Cognitive. That is a good perspective. And I think a lot of students get cognitive perspective and biological perspective mixed up. So let's start with those two.
That's a great call. Yeah. It's not bad. So cognitive is how we take in, store, and retrieve information, and how our perceptions influence our actions. So this is like problem solving. Think this is the closest to that original style of psychology that was just philosophy. So this is really about our mind and how we think. So this is where you get that term like metacognitive, and this is very reflective and inward thinking. You got that introspection going on. This is really the closest to how psychology started out. Some questions that cognitive psychologists ask are, how do we use information to remember, and how does interpretation of a situation impact our behavior or thoughts? So Mrs. Navidad and I could experience the exact same situation and experience it differently or have different thoughts about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So anytime something super dramatic happens in your friend group and you go and like talk to like your BFF and you say like, oh my goodness, could you believe that they said this isn't that? They must like really hate that person. And then your friend's like, that's not how I took from that, or that's not what I got from that. So that's kind of like that difference. Like we each experience something, the same thing differently.
Absolutely.
Now, biological, like I said, a lot of students get biological perspective and cognitive perspective confused, because cognitive is all about the thinking aspect. Biological is all about the biological aspect, like what's going on in your brain. So understanding how the brain and body create thoughts and emotions and memories, not the thoughts itself or themselves, but how the body and the brain create those thoughts and emotions. So a lot of our genes, or from a biological perspective, they would say that our genes and our environment can influence are like how we kind of react to things. And so in terms of genealogy and how things are passed down through our genes, that could affect our biological kind of reaction.
Exactly. So they would look, biological perspective would look, if we have the situation of Mrs. Navidad and I experiencing something in a different way, or in your friend group and your BFF says, I didn't see it that way at all. Biological perspective is going to go back and look at your genes and the environment that you grew up in and say, why did they see this so differently? Now, sometimes it's just interpretation and it's not that deep, but biological perspective is always going to find that deeper layer.
Yes, exactly. And some questions associated with the biological perspective, just to kind of get you thinking about it. How are messages transmitted throughout the body? That's something that we're going to focus on when we get to Unit 2, if we follow College Board, because we're going to talk about like those neurotransmitters and how they're transmitting information from the brain to our body. Other things too, like to what extent does our genes or our environment impact our personality, intelligence, and even different like mental disorders. Like I know, for example, anxiety and depression can be passed down through generation, even things like ADHD. So that biological perspective is important when looking at those various things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Do you have a preference on where we go next, or can I just surprise you?
What do you choose? Yeah, okay. give me a nice surprise.
Evolutionary perspective.
I'm shocked. Evolutionary perspective is how this natural selection process has caused behavior, that's our genes, to develop and adapt. So this is basically today's functionalism. So remember, William James looked at functionalism and said, this puzzle piece needs to have a purpose. This emotion needs to have a purpose or a function. That's what our evolutionary perspective is going to do today. So both of these are, or the evolutionary perspective is based off of both Darwin and William James. And they are going to look at how our genes have evolved and basically the evolution of the human. So our questions with this one are, how does evolution influence behavior tendencies such as our sleep cycles, our emotions, and how are humans alike because of common biology?
Absolutely. So we, in like a lot of psychologists today, we're going to see how three different types of perspectives really kind of combine. And evolutionary is not one of those. So it's not as looked at as other perspectives might be.
Correct.
But like we said at the beginning, it is like because it has its own uniqueness, it is something that psychologists do look at still, right?
That's more of an overarching patterns study than it is in some of our other perspectives. We're going to look at one specific event or one specific emotion that happens, and evolutionary is going to be more across generations of how things, I don't want to say evolve, but I don't know, come about.
How things adapt?
Meh. Fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, evolve. Evolve is the best word.
Evolve is just the right one.
I know it is. Ooh, I think this is everybody's favorite. That's a joke. That's a joke. And that is the psychodynamic perspective. So we talked in the last episode about how Freud has his psychoanalytic, right?
Correct.
What word did we use? Not perspective. It is a perspective, though.
Movement.
Yeah, movement. Thank you. And so this is very similar to that. He had an emphasis, and this perspective has an emphasis on the unconscious mind. So again, Freud was really into that unconscious thinking, what happened in your past that you have repressed that you don't like maybe necessarily remember anymore, and how is that causing the behavior or the emotions or the tendencies that you have right here, right now. He also said that memories are formed from one's childhood. Like I said, that could be repressed, and they can come back out in different behaviors through adulthood. And then, actually, that's all I really wanted to say about that. We can switch between saying psychodynamic and psychoanalytic. Do you have a preference on which one you say?
I don't, but basically if it starts with psycho, you know where we're headed.
Yes, and when we get, if you don't know anything about Freud, like, don't Google him until, like, we get to.
At least not on a school network.
Absolutely.
He's got some pretty out there ideas.
Yeah, so when she says psycho, it's because he's a little different, to say the least.
Indeed.
So how does energy come from the unconscious motivate our actions is really that overall question.
Ooh, behavioral. This is one of the movements we also talked about yesterday. So we've got that B.F. Skinner, J.B. Watson. When I say yesterday, I mean in the last episode. You didn't have to watch it yesterday, I guess. Listen to it. Oof. Wow.
You're just all over.
I'm all over the place. These are times I wish we edited this. Not really. That would take forever. You're stuck with us. Anyway, the focus of the behavioral approach is how our behavior is shaped by the learning process. So basically there's an emphasis on behavior that is reinforced or punished. So we will talk about that more in detail when we talk about operational and conditional learning, and then measuring it in a more scientific way with the stimuli that cause a measurable response. If you've heard of Pavlov's dogs, this is kind of where behavior gets into that. If you haven't, we got a fun thing coming up. That's one you can Google if you'd like to, but we will also
on
get to it.
That is school network safe.
Yes. So the questions here are, how do we learn to fear particular objects, and how can we change problematic behaviors?
Mm-hmm. I think behavioral is my favorite.
Behavioral is pretty great.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. Okay, so next up is humanistic. Again, we just talked about humanistic and humanism. And this is that optimistic psychology, right? So emphasis on human growth and potential, as well as self-concept. And it was created by Maslow, and I'm totally blanking.
Carl Rogers.
Yes, Carl Rogers. I knew it wasn't a hard name. But basically answering that question, how can I make myself a better person? So humanistic is pretty, I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
I mean, just trying to be positive.
Pretty happy.
And then last but not least, actually this one might be my favorite. I love learning about,
oh,
I know.
Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry. Social. Cultural. I say I don't even know. Just go. I can't.
All right, I'm taking over. Jumping in. So sociocultural perspective is that human behavior must be interpreted to proper social and cultural context. So, okay, yeah, this one is really fun. We don't spend a ton of time here, but the question and the focus here is psychology universal? So some of the things that we know to be definitive, every time A happens, B will be the reaction in the US. If we move over to Japan, is that going to be the same thing? Mm-hmm. If we go back 10 generations, is that going to be the same thing? Is it going to be the same response? So yes, putting it into different social and cultural contexts to see if it's still there is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that.
I think this is my favorite because my husband is from a completely different culture, grew up in a different culture. And even though he was born in a different country and he grew up for most of his life, like only 30 minutes away from where I did, he was still very much so embedded in that culture that he mm-hmm. was born into. And so like whenever we go to my in-laws for like anything, like a dinner or a holiday or whatever, and they do things that are traditional to their culture, then it's like, wow, this is not like the American culture that I grew up with. And then the same is opposite is true for him. So I think it's like really cool to learn about other people's cultures and then kind of see like, it is like a lot of some psychology can be like different like with mm-hmm. it, you know, like, I don't know, it's really interesting. So I could nerd out about it, but I'm not going to. Would you like to
just nerd out about it?
Well, I could go into more. I mean just even things like you. English colloquialisms. He's been here for 21 years, right? Mm-hmm. So that's like, and he came here when he was 6 years old, so 22 years. So he's been here well longer than he was ever in Central America. And there are still things that, like, I say, like, oh, what am I, chopped liver? And he's like, what does that mean? It's like, mm-hmm. you've been here for 22 years. You don't know what that means? Like, you've heard me say that before. So, I don't know. Things like that, they intrigue yep. me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. One of my... little caveat of my own. One of my friends became an American citizen while we were in high school, and she would be going off on a topic and just like so passionate about it, and have to stop in the middle and go, what's the word for it? And just remind her. And she was, I mean, so fluent in English, but there would just be a couple things that caught her, and it was always, I don't know, just kind of interesting to see her switch back and forth. And it was, we had another friend who spoke Portuguese, and her other friend spoke Spanish, which are similar enough that she would say the word in Portuguese and they could translate for each other, and it was really cool.
That's cool. Yeah, my husband still sometimes will be like, oh wait, I the word, it's like, and like tip of the tongue phenomenon, obviously that's a thing, but like it's always like certain words that, you know,
that catch him.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. And then he'll like, I don't know, anyway,
so we have our contemporary psychology, like we said at the beginning, is not necessarily going to focus on one approach that we just talked about, because there are many uses to a lot of these approaches. So what did they come up with? What's our hybrid, Mrs. Navidad?
You just don't want to say the word. That's cheating.
I just want to hear you say it, actually.
Our hybrid is the biopsychosocial hybrid approach.
You did phenomenal.
Thank you. I know I did. So if you break it up into those three, I kind of said it as if it was hyphenated, but it's all one word, one very chaotic word. We have bio, so biological influences, psycho, so psychological influences, and then social cultural influences. And then that's what makes this contemporary hybrid approach.
Absolutely. So we put all of those together, take into account all of those different influences, and that's what often gives us our answer in psychology today.
Yeah, exactly. So it goes over the genetic predispositions, it goes over learned fears and emotional responses, and then also the cultural and peer group influences as well. Yeah. So there are a lot of different ways that you can practice going over these seven perspectives. And one way that we gave our students is to think about when you're biting your nails, right? What would the different psychological perspectives say about a nail biter, mm-hmm. basically? So with a lot of different things, I would just start with that, and then you can probably think of more examples if you want to continue practicing. But I think we can just leave you all with this. If you have a habit, or if anybody has a habit of biting their nails, what would somebody in the biological perspective say? What would a psychologist in the humanistic perspective say? What would a psychologist in any of the other perspectives say about that habit? And then that's a good way, I think, to practice and solidify understanding these seven perspectives.
Yes, it's a great way to test yourself as well, if you're able to just boom, 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 go through and not have to look back at your notes to remind yourself what each perspective is. A lot of them, the names try to be pretty self-explanatory, but there are some confusing ones you could get switched up, especially between behavioral and cognitive.
Mm-hmm. And biological.
Oh, that's what I meant. Biological and cognitive. So yeah, you can test it out with biting your nails or really any other habit activity to give yourself more practice.
Yeah. Absolutely. And with that, we are done with this topic for today. Next time, we are going to be talking about domains.
Which is the jobs.
Yes, the jobs. What kind of jobs can we do with psychology? So
I want to major in psychology. What can I do?
So many things.
Well, we're going to tell ya.
Yes, exactly. And there is a very long list for you. So we will talk about that next time. See you later.
See you later.